RNZ Pacific Fratalo Fatu, I'm Malika Pusiaki with the news. In Vanuatu, a 14-year-old boy has died after a bus plunged down a 30-meter cliff into a creek. The bus was returning to Vila from a field trip with 15 passengers when the crash happened before a popular waterfall called La Cascade, north of Port Vila. The Daily Post newspaper says the field trip is an annual event organized by a popular theoretical company called One Small Bag Theatre. The Clams Hill Road is steep and was originally built by Americans during World War II. In recent times, it became part of the U.S.-funded Millennium Challenge project, which was won by Vanuatu. The Samoa Hotels Association President Tupai Saleimoa'awai says selling cash-strapped hotels is not the only solution for recouping mortgage payments. The Samoa Observer reports the president speaking after the Development Bank of Samoa put up three locally owned hotels for public auction last week. It is understood more properties are headed in the same direction after they were threatened with foreclosure notices due to climbing debts owed to the bank. Mr. Tupai said they needed more open-minded and courageous financial institutions to find solutions and take risks for something that is good for the industry and the country. He said they are taking the easier option out to just sell them, but it's not the only option out there. The three properties up for the public auction last week include the Orita Hotel at Tanumapua, the Le Manumea Hotel at Wailima, and the Vaia Hotel Samoa in Tongafuafua. A strategic alliance of Pacific Island nations and international institutions is tackling the increasing spread of dangerous mosquito-borne diseases such as dengue fever and malaria. Participants from Fiji, Samoa, Palau and Tonga joined the first of two workshops at the QMR Beckhoff's Mosquito Control Laboratory in Brisbane, Australia. It is one of the few facilities in the Southern Hemisphere with quarantine authority to house various exotic insecticide-resistant mosquitoes that transmit viruses such as dengue fever, Zika viruses, chikungunya, and malaria. Christina Pesico reports.
Head of Mosquito Control, Associate Professor Greg Devine, said the workshops include lab work, a field trip, and modules on how to identify different mosquito species, test for insecticide resistance, and assess the effectiveness of key control tools such as bed nets. He said environmental changes caused by climate change, population growth, and increasing travel between countries are all contributing to the spread of mosquito-borne diseases. The Pacific Community's senior epidemiologist, Dr. Selenita Sakita, said mosquito-borne disease remain a significant threat to the health and socio-economic well-being of the region. He said the number of outbreaks is rising, with 96 reported in the Pacific region between 2012 and 2021.
Tonga has lifted the requirement for supervised rapid COVID-19 testing prior to entering the country. The kingdom opened its borders on August 1st and recently reviewed the situation. Health orders are no longer be required for incoming flights. Supervised rapid antigen tests are not needed for entry. And Tonga travelers with a valid Tongan passport or certificate of identity no longer need to show a vaccination certificate in order to enter. The health arrival declaration is still needed, and all travelers are still encouraged to have full vaccination with booster dose completed before traveling to Tonga. All arriving passengers are still encouraged to follow the advised preventative measures, including wearing masks in public places. Tokelau has opened its borders to allow essential workers to return to the atolls. The atolls remain COVID-19 free. The general manager of the Apia-based office of Tokelau, Augustino Vitale, says they have been planning the repatriation process for returning Tokelauans who will arrive via passenger boat from Samoa. The first passengers to arrive last week were a nurse and a telecommunications contractor. Mr. Vitale says passengers and stevedores will stay in managed isolation and receive frequent COVID-19 testing from health workers. The last repatriation was in early 2021, and a date has not been set for the repatriation of Tokelauans overseas. In New Zealand, meteorologists say a spring cold snap is in the pipeline this week. Snow could fall to sea level in Christchurch and Banks Peninsula and to 300 metres in Wellington on Wednesday night, local time. Invercargill could register its coldest October on record, with day temperatures below 5 degrees Celsius. NIWA meteorologist Chris Bondolino says frosts shouldn't continue for longer than 3 days, but lower temperatures are not untypical of spring weather.
It won't be extensive. It'll be sharp, as I say, but livestock, agriculture, these cold temperatures, so these are things we'll have to be mindful of. So it is a good thing that it's only 2 or 3 days this cold snaps. It's going to be unpleasant, to put mildly.
Chris Brendolino says the weekend will be warmer. In world news, the death toll in Florida following Hurricane Ian has risen to 74, and officials are warning it will likely go higher. CNN's Leila Santiago reported from Naples, Florida, which was heavily hit by the storm surge.
What landed really in the backyard of these homes? There's a boat in a home. There's a dock that was ripped off by Hurricane Ian. That dock, by the way, ended up across the street in the neighbor's driveway. I've been talking to people here who tell me reality is really starting to set in. Yes, they are still in disbelief over the force of Hurricane Ian, the aftermath, and what they're dealing with right now. They are in salvage mode, trying to save what they can and clean up and move on.
President Joe Biden will tour the hurricane ravaged zones in a couple of days. The Indonesian government is promising a full investigation after at least 155 people died in a stampede at a local football match. Fans began rioting after the game between two sides with a bitter rivalry, and police responded with tear gas. RNZ correspondent Richard Kimber reports.
Indonesia's President Joko Widodo is calling for a full inquiry into what happened and is ordering that all games in the country's top league be postponed. Trouble began after the final whistle in a game between long-standing rivals Arema FC and Persebaya Surabaya. The match finished 3-2 to Persebaya. As the players began leaving the field, fans started rioting and then invading the pitch, clashing with scores of police. Videos on social media show police wielding riot shields and batons, responding with force and firing numerous rounds of tear gas. Chaotic stampedes and crashes then ensued as more than 40,000 fans in attendance tried to escape through the stadium exits.
In sport, Papua New Guinea has won the MSG Prime Minister's Football Cup. PNG defeated the Vanuatu Development Team in a penalty shootout in the final, 4-1. At full time, the score was 3-3 at Common Stadium, Port Vila, Vanuatu. 5 Melanesian countries and territories competed in the cup, with hosts Vanuatu fielding a main side and a development site. The cup was resurrected by the government of Vanuatu and FIFA. In New Zealand's provincial rugby competition, the quarter-finalists have been found after the 8th round of matches. Canterbury finished with the best record after pool play, losing only once during the competition, and will play Northland in the quarter-finals. In the other playoff games, North Harbour will host Auckland, Wellington will play Hawke's Bay, and Waikato will play Bay of Plenty. That's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, head to our website, rnzi.com.